Okay, yeah. Now it's working. Okay. This is Ann Cox interviewing Kenneth Beck on October 12th, 2003.
Okay. I get the same questions or different?
They're the same, but I won't ask some of them over again.
Oh, okay.
Just start out by telling me the year you were born.
When I was born?
Yeah.
May 10th, 1946.
Where were you born?
Hazard, Kentucky.
Okay. How far away is Hazard from?
About 35 miles.
Okay. Can you describe the place you grew up in?
Place I grew up in. Until I was 9 years old, we lived in the coal camp that was operated by Blue Diamond Coal Company. And we lived in a house that was provided by the company, a little four-room weatherboarded house with no indoor plumbing. Mm-hmm. We did have running water.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the first 9 years, I lived there. And then there was a lot of problems with the union.
Yeah.
And so Dad knew that he was going to get, probably the union was going to go on strike. And so in preparation for that, we moved from Perry County to Breathitt County.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved in a little house that was located on a farm that was owned by my grandfather. And so my dad continued to work up there until the mines went on strike, and then he quit. And when the mines went on strike, he came back to Breathitt County.
Mm-hmm.
And lived there. And so from there until the time that I left to go to college, I lived in Breathitt County.
Okay, where did you go to college?
Morehead State.
Is that where you met Blanche, or did you meet?
Before no, then. We actually met while we were going to high school together. And ironically, her brother was my eighth grade teacher.
Oh, okay.
So we were high school sweethearts.
So did a lot of members of your family live in Breathitt County, like your aunts and your uncles and your
most of my family lived in Breathitt County.
Okay.
The ones that that hadn't moved away to find work in the factories up north.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them lived here.
Did the majority of them move away?
Probably. Matter of fact, all of them, except maybe one or two, stayed here.
Mm-hmm. And did they stay here all their lives, those who stayed here?
The ones that remained did, yes. And the ones that moved away pretty much stayed there too, even after they retired.
Mm-hmm.
I had maybe one uncle that moved back to an adjoining county when he retired.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You already answered that. Why do you think that those members of your family who never left, why do you think they stayed in this area?
Why they never left? I think in one case, I have an uncle that never married. He sort of felt obligated to his parents and stayed with them until they passed away. So he was pretty much tied to his family.
Mm-hmm.
And the others, the uncertainty of maybe moving away and being on their own, they chose to stay rather than do that.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking those family ties, I guess, was the, probably the biggest reason they didn't move.
Mm-hmm. Do you think if you had stayed instead of leaving, you lived in, you lived in Virginia, and where else did you say?
Kansas.
Did you say Virginia?
And Florida.
And Florida? Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you say Virginia?
Brief
okay.
period of time.
Okay. If you had stayed, how do you feel it would be, your life would be very different?
If I had stayed as
yeah.
opposed to moving?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
How would it have been different? Do you think?
Well, I think those experiences that I would have missed, my life would have been very different. I would have looked at things from a different perspective, much more narrow than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I think moving away at an early age, especially entering the military, gave me a sense of confidence that I could have, I probably wouldn't have learned anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up pretty much on my own. Even here, not that I didn't have family support, but that was, I was kind of a loner and independent from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't wait to leave home to try something on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always that curiosity to try to do better and do things I hadn't done. And so I would have very much missed out on a whole lot if I'd stayed here.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to come back here?
Well, I think two or three reasons. Of course, one is your heart, I guess, is always home. There's always that sense of comfort, but also responsibility. My mother, of course, was getting older. And, you know, the care for her and our family members, the ties that we have with our family members was very important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we no longer had the need to go to find employment. And we were pretty much independent. We had a choice of doing whatever we wanted to. We have the wherewithal to travel or do whatever we want, and this is sort of central. This is, we can have our cake and eat it too by living here. It's only an hour and a half to Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
So we can drive or fly anywhere in the world, and we're happy here. As you grow older, your friends and your family become more important to you, and you lose all those connections from the working world. That no longer is that necessary to you. So, and as you grow older, your sense of adventure sort of changes.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at life from a different perspective. I guess you become more selfish, maybe. You no longer have some of those needs that you had before to fulfill that sense of adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is the best of both worlds as far as I can see it.
Do you feel like the people like you who left did it more for a sense of adventure or for economic reasons, like they had to?
Well, I guess it was a combination. I don't know. It was an obligation for me personally, as much as fulfilling the obligation to my country, because Uncle Sam had called me to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had gone to Canada, which I probably had that choice, I probably wouldn't have had to go. But that sort of started things going. And in a sense, it was good for me, and I'm sure Blanche too, because there was that safety net. Even though I was going to Kansas in a foreign land, I was in the military, And as long as I was in the military was going to look after me. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But and I grew up a lot during that time. So it was kind of a two-way street. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure it fulfilled that sense of adventure, but also an obligation that I wanted to fulfill.
How had this area changed from before you left, when you came back?
How has it changed? Well, the roads are better, transportation is better. It's not as small a world as it was. Of course, the world has changed
mm-hmm.
during that time. We have better communications. We have the internet now. Before, Lexington was 5 hours away, 5-6 hours away. Now it's an hour and a half. There's more opportunity now than there was then. Back then, it was subsistence living. There was no jobs
mm-hmm.
unless you maybe worked for the state or was a teacher. Of course, that's pretty much true today. But even a job in Lexington, commuting was out of the question then, even though it's a stretch now.
Mm-hmm.
There's more, we didn't have a McDonald's then.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's more retail facilities. The creature comforts are much better. We have city water right here, and that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
The standard of living has increased. I'd say the household income has probably tripled. But again, I think it's more up to the individual as to take advantage of opportunities than the local situation.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's pretty much the same. Some of the same folks that we went to high school with are here. They're the same people. I guess I'm more involved in the local government activities than I was then and more aware of what's going on, but I doubt that overall it's changed all that much.
Mm-hmm. When you left, those people who stayed here, how do they make a living?
The ones that remained?
Yeah.
Talking about my peers?
Yeah.
Well, some of them went into business themselves. Of course, some of those were from families that were in business, had local businesses. They've continued those businesses. Others have started businesses on their own. Some have become teachers in the school system. Some have worked for state government. And some have probably done the same thing that Blaine and I have. They've moved away and retired and moved back.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that remained here pretty much were teachers or worked for the state.
Your mom, Sarah Jane,
mm-hmm.
she stayed here her whole life, is that
mm-hmm.
right? How did she live was it most of her children moved away up north? Or did most of them moved up north, is that right? Or is that not right?
I have a brother and a half sister. Mm-hmm. My half sister moved north and has stayed there and retired and continues to live there.
Mm-hmm.
My brother has moved back and forth. He lived here for a period of time, especially when the coal business was going good, and he was involved in coal related businesses. And then when the coal business declined, then he moved to Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lived there since.
How did she and your father make a living during the 50s and 60s?
During the 50s and 60s. My dad farmed, he logged. He was a night watchman for a local Chevrolet dealer. And then later, for a short period of time, went to Dayton and was a night watchman for a little factory up there for a while. My mother was a cook at the grade school for a period of time. And then about the time I left home, she worked at a dairy bar until... my dad was able to get his Social Security, and then they retired.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall them having any opinions or feelings about people who left, who didn't stay?
People who left. I guess the biggest thing was that the ones that left and went north came back with an accent.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always kind of like the people that left maybe felt a little better.
We thought,
you know, that was our perception, that they seemed to feel like they had succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have a nephew that we've often talked about, families that come back that... especially the ones that the men that would take had factory jobs, especially with the automobile dealer manufacturers,
mm-hmm.
General Motors, Frigidaire, and they would always come back with a white shirt and tie, you know, dress up when they would come back, and they always had a new car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we could say, well, they've done well.
Mm-hmm.
But if the truth was known, they really weren't living any better than we were, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of the perception.
My brother said that somebody from up north come down here and lived 30 years and couldn't speak air or dialect. And they go up there, we go up there in one weekend and come back with an accent.
Folks that the families that moved away couldn't wait to come home, and a lot of them came home every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And especially holidays, everybody came home, and they all spent their vacations back here. So mm-hmm. It was kind of a family reunion, and a lot of times we would go back and spend some time with them. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it was great to go spend time with my cousins and especially my nephew. And I loved it, you know.
Did you ever go visit any of your relatives who had left when you were a young boy?
Yeah, we always go. And depending, you know, on our schedule, but... We try to visit at least once or twice a year, and then they do the same.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about that when you were little?
Think about visiting relatives?
Yeah, about going, like, how was the experience to you going places out of this area to visit?
Oh, it was a treat. I can only remember my parents taking maybe two vacations, and they were short, like a week. But I know one especially was the first bicycle I ever had. We were up visiting my sister, and Dad bought us a bicycle while we were up there. And I loved to go spend time with my sister. She would take us to the Cincinnati Zoo and different places. So it was a treat.
Mm-hmm.
It was always a pleasant experience.
What did your sister, what did she do in Cincinnati? Or what did her family do?
My sister owned a little restaurant in a paper factory. It was a canteen mm-hmm. where all the employees ate.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess initially she started there as a cook, but then she bought it and ran that for years. We were very successful at it. And my brother-in-law worked at General Motors, retired from General Motors.
What was the name of the paper factory?
It changed hands.
Miamisburg Paper, okay. West Carrollton Envelope. But it was in West Carrollton, the little town mm-hmm. Just south of Dayton.
Yeah. Because you read about a lot of people leaving here and going to work at the Champion Paper Company in Hamilton. How do you think, like, everyday life changed when people started leaving? Changed here?
How life changed for the ones that remained?
Mm-hmm.
When the others left?
Mm-hmm. If it changed?
Well, I guess for my grandfather, he had a big family, and he had several boys, and of course he had inherited and purchased the balance of heirs from my grandmother's estate. So he had several acres, and he depended on those children to farm. And when they left, you know, that sort of put a hardship on him. And as a matter of fact, he encouraged his children to stay. And, but as they left, then a lot of times they would run into hard times and bring their grandchildren back. So mm-hmm. he ended up, not unlike today, raising some of his grandchildren. But the big change was that he lost his work hands when his family moved. In my family's case, I think it was more of a relief because there was fewer mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm.
From an economic standpoint, it was a plus for my folks. Of course, they were getting older, so and that was a relief for them for me to be out of school and my brother and cut their expenses in half.
When and why did this change in, like, sustainable agriculture take place? Like, for your family, you said people would grow their own things and have their own animals. Did you say that?
Well, in my grandfather's case, it was more subsistence farming.
Farming.
He had a tobacco base.
Oh, okay.
And he had corn, and he raised corn, and he had cattle and horses,
mm-hmm.
hogs. And so not only did he farm to put food on the table, but that really was his source of income. His tobacco crop every year was probably, I'm guessing, probably $3,000 back in the 50s, 60s, and that was a substantial income.
Mm-hmm.
And so he depended on his children to help. And when they left, then that meant some of that money that he could spend on his family, he had to go out and hire someone else to take their place.
When did that sort of way of living start changing?
Pardon?
When did that sort of way of living start changing? That
when did it start changing?
Yeah, the way your grandfather lived.
Well, I guess probably in probably in the 50s.
Late 50s.
Probably in the late 50s when the assembly line in some of those factories in the north, the demand for labor, and that was an opportunity, and little by little, as people migrated from here up there, and then brought the news back that, hey, you could leave and go to Cincinnati and get a job, then slowly that transition happened.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as those folks, my uncles and aunts, as they became of age and were looking to make a living themselves, there was no farmland there for them to take, because the farm was already supporting the Macs. And so they were by necessity forced to go somewhere else to make a living. There was no jobs.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that people migrating out, coming back in, sped up the process of progress in the county?
Not sure I understand your question now.
Do you think, since people would leave and experience a sort of different way of life and then they come back, do you think that that changed the way people lived at all? The way, like the progress of the county, or did the county just progress by itself? Like the things you were talking about that changed, like there's a McDonald's now. Do you think that would have just happened by itself?
I think probably for the most part. Maybe folks that lived away coming back obviously had an influence.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could look around and see that, you know, you could drive a new car. You could have running water. You could have carpet on the floors.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you go about that? The ones that chose to stay wanted those same things. They just didn't want to move.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that change probably would have happened anyway. And we're all reluctant to change. You know, we're creatures of habit, and I experienced the same thing with the coal boom, my generation. We went through a period where the coal industry here was dying out, but there was jobs available with the same corporation in other states, and several employees that were offered job would not relocate. So, you know, I think it probably influenced you, back to your question. I think we were influenced from people that moved away and visited and came back. But also, change would have happened anyway because the economy here was improving, and there was also an outside influence from the world. I mean, we weren't living in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm. You know,
the road made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself probably was the major factor, because you could now go to Lexington to shop.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take 2 days to go down and back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, as those transportation means got better and the coal industry probably was a big factor because there were some jobs created And we began to have some of those same facilities that we went elsewhere for.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any difference between people who left and came back and people who never left? Like, can you see differences today?
Is there a difference?
Mm-hmm. Any type of...
I think it depends on the individual. Mm-hmm. There's a number of people that we went to high school with that stayed here and were very successful and remain here today and run businesses that are still very successful. I don't know that they really have changed any more than I have.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are others who have stayed here and I don't know if it's because they stayed here, but maybe they didn't want to change. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think part of the reason, like some of the people that you know who stayed, who were successful, do you think part of the reason they were successful is because so many people left and that opened up more opportunities for them?
I don't know that really was a big factor. I just think that there was demands for goods and services because of the changing economic conditions, and they recognized an opportunity and took advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the big reason.
Okay. So I know I'm repeating some of the questions, but it's just to get it different. I mean, some of the questions I asked Blanche, but it's just to get a different voice. How old were most of the people who went north? Were they your age when you went? Like right out of college? How do you remember?
Are you asking, did the people we graduated with, most of those went north?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For a period of time.
Yeah, for a period of time. It's kind of hard to say because you lose track. You know, of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was like 175 in our graduating class, and probably maybe half those people you might have had contact with. You know, and we were moving too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's kind of like looking back 20 years and saying, you know, where are my peers now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that you were close friends with, you keep up with, and you kind of know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were kind of like us, you know, they, some of them moved in and out, you know, during the past 40 years. So it's kind of hard to say. I don't know. I would say the majority of them probably moved.
Mm-hmm.
How many, I don't know, but I would say the majority of them, probably over half, I would say moved.
Mm-hmm. And did the majority of those people come back?
I doubt it.
Some
have, but I doubt the majority of them did. I doubt it because they've established family ties and, you know, relocated. Mm-hmm. and they've made that transition.
Mm-hmm.
If 50% moved, probably no more than 20% came back.
Max.
Just a guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you tell me about the sense of community you felt when you were growing up here?
The sense of community that I felt? Yeah. Well, it was very strong. and probably even has a big influence even today on how I see things. When we lay down at night, we never thought about locking the door. It was a very safe place. We knew everybody, and everybody knew us.
Mm-hmm.
We were all friends. You really never saw a stranger in the community, and we would often visit back and forth from time to time. And there's a sense of really of closeness, and I still sense that, even having lived away several years and moved back. This little community, even where I grew up, of course, there's people that those people have changed, but the ones that are still there, I still feel that sense of closeness. And I notice that especially when we have lived in other communities, that you miss that.
Mm-hmm. How large was the community you were part of when you were growing up?
How large, you mean in terms of people or miles? Or?
Both, I guess.
Well, I'd say my community was probably limited to maybe 10 square miles, 10 mile radius, I guess, around where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't hazard a guess how many people.
A few thousand.
Yeah, a couple of thousand maybe.
Okay. So it wasn't just your family?
No. It was beyond my family, yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like that's the same today?
Is that the same today?
Yeah.
Oh, it's much bigger than that today for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because of work, because of years of interaction with people and friends that we've made and different connections, it's much bigger.
When you were young and people were leaving, how did you keep in touch with either people who had left or people who were here when you had left?
Do we still keep in touch?
How did you keep in touch?
How do we keep in touch?
Yeah.
Well, we came back fairly often.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we weren't gone over maybe 6 months at a time, maybe, without coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Visits and phone calls and write letters, and they would visit us.
Okay. Answered most of these. What do you feel has, I don't know if I already asked you this in some sort of other question, but what do you feel has stayed the same here in Breathitt County and this Eastern Kentucky region where you grew up in Hazard, has stayed the same since you grew up? What sorts of things have stayed the same, do you feel like?
Things have stayed the same. The people have have stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean there's a sense of family, a sense of caring here that is unlike anywhere else I've lived. A sense of closeness
mm-hmm.
with people. I can go to Jackson and, of course, you know, very few people walk up down the street that I don't know, but there's a lot I don't. But even strangers are willing to help you, to lend a helping hand. You know, you have a flat out here on the road, somebody stop and help you. You know, you get in Lexington or somewhere out of here, and it's a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that has remained the same, and that's probably the thing that draws me back to the mountains more than anything else. That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. So you feel like it's different here than, like, if someone had grew up somewhere else other than here, then maybe they wouldn't feel as compelled to return, that this place has something that's
true.
Different.
That's true. It's like, and it probably applies to anybody. You look at your home where you grew up, and you wonder if you hadn't lived there most of your life, what reason would you have to go back? You know, who would want to buy that house and live there?
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to live in a hall in Breathitt County? You know,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, people from that area are the only ones interested. It's localized.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have a reason for a job, an employment, besides that, unless you have a personal reason, there's no reason for you to live there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing applies here. You know, we're no different than any other place.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all.
Okay.